35. Now this brief interlude. Drive that old Chrysler to Mexico, boy. ZZ Top. At Libertyville High, Coach Puffer had given way to Coach Jones, and football had given way to basketball. But nothing really changed. The LHS Cagers didn't do much better than the LHS Gridiron Warriors. The only bright spot was Lenny Barong, a three-sport man whose major one was basketball. Lenny stubbornly went about having the great year he needed to have if he was going to get the athletic scholarship to Marquette that he lusted after. Sandy Galton suddenly blew town. One day he was there, the next he was gone. His mother, a 45-year-old wino who didn't look a day over 60, did not seem terribly concerned. Neither did his younger brother, who pushed more dope than any other kid in Gornick Junior High. A romantic rumor that he had cut out for Mexico made the rounds at Libertyville High. Another, less romantic rumor also made the rounds, that Buddy Repperton had been on Sandy about something, and he felt it would be safer to make himself scarce. The Christmas break approached, and the school's atmosphere grew restless and rather thundery, as it always did before a long vacation. The student body's overall grade average took its customary pre-Christmas dip. Book reports were turned in late, and often bore a suspicious resemblance to jacket copy. After all, how many sophomore English students are apt to call The Catcher in the Rye this burning classic of post-war adolescence? Class projects were left half-done or undone. The percentage of detention periods given for kissing and petting in the halls skyrocketed, and busts for marijuana went way up as the Libertyville High School students indulged in a little pre-Christmas cheer. So a good many of the students were up. Teacher absenteeism was up. In the hallways and homerooms, Christmas decorations were up. Lee Cabot was not up. She flunked an exam for the first time in her high school career and got a D on an executive typing drill. She could not seem to study. She found her mind wandering back again and again to Christine, to the green dashboard instruments that had become hateful, gloating cat's eyes, watching her choke to death. But for most, the last week of school before the Christmas break was a mellow period when offenses, which would have earned detention slips at other times of the year, were excused, when hard-hearted teachers would sometimes actually throw a scale on an exam where everyone had done badly, when girls who had been bitter enemies made it up, and when boys who had scuffled repeatedly over real or imagined insults did the same. Perhaps more indicative of the mellow season than anything else was the fact that Miss Ratpack, the Gorgon of Room 23 Study Hall, was seen to smile, not just once, but several times. In the hospital, Dennis Gilder was moderately up. He had swapped his bedfast traction casts for walking casts. Physical therapy was no longer the torture it had been. He swung through corridors that had been strung with tinsel and decorated with first, second, and third grade Christmas pictures, his crutches thump-thumping along, sometimes in time to the carols spilling merrily from the overhead speakers. It was a caesura, a lull, an interlude, a period of quiet. During his seemingly endless walks up and down the hospital corridors, Dennis reflected that things could be worse, much, much worse. Before too long, they were.